back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Joining us now, our returning champion from the city of Daphne, represents you guys in the eastern, the southern half, I should say, of Baldwin County, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Live from Fairhope. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, soon to be home of yours truly, Fairhope, Alabama. It's just gonna get moved in, I suppose. But Senator, as we were talking out during the break, the conversation just dominated by COVID-19 vaccines, vaccine passports. Looking pretty good sitting here today, Senator Orr is the guest on earlier this week, but getting that vaccine passport law into place at the time was being told this is just you Republicans in the legislature making a mountain out of a molehill that this wasn't going to happen. This is a boogeyman, and you're doing it for political purposes. You're looking pretty good today, I would think, as we look around the country and seeing some of the rhetoric pertaining to getting vaccinated for COVID-19.
No question, and my friend Senator Arthur Orr of Decatur is a thought leader on many things, and he was ahead of the curve on this, talking to his colleagues and explaining that he thought this is where things were headed and that we needed, as the legislature, to get ahead of it. Obviously he's right, and I'm very glad that the Republicans, in the House and Senate moved forward with this, and the governor signed it, of course, over strong Democrat opposition. But it was an important thing, very, very thoughtful to make sure that we protect individuals from government overreach. And I applaud Senator Orr for his foresight on that.
Yeah, and I guess the only complaint I see, there's the Birmingham Southern, the school up in Birmingham, as it's named. They are just sticking their thumb in the eye of it, and they're requiring proof of vaccination for their students. Does the law have enough teeth? Does it have an enforcement mechanism strong enough to where you won't see this trend of these businesses or private schools or public schools even saying, no, we're just going to defy the law?
Well, the short answer is we're going to find out. And one thing I have learned in the legislature is that, you can pass a statute. It can be signed into law, and it can be codified. But until it is tested, which most, an awful lot of our laws are tested and further interpreted by the courts, you don't know the answer to that. But I fully expect to find out the answer in this Birmingham Southern instance. And that's going to be very interesting, because the law, while it is not clear in every single instance, its intent is certainly clear, and the legislature's intent is clear, and this certainly flies in the face of that.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna have to wait and see. Would this be something? I know we talk a lot about what's to come up in future legislative sessions a lot in this segment we have every week. But is this something you feel like you guys might possibly need to revisit in the future?
It's entirely possible. We may need to clarify some things, and as questions come up, this entire pandemic crisis, the government response to it, business response to it, has been a moving target, and the legislature's response probably needs to change with the time and move with the time as well. I mean, listen, we've seen over the last year and a half here things done by the government, required by the government, that I never thought I would see in this country. We have seen people ordered to wear masks. We've seen people ordered to close their businesses. We've seen businesses put out of business by government orders. We've seen our economy turn completely upside down. I didn't ever think I'd see that in our democracy, and yet we have. And so I think it's incumbent on the legislature to move with the times and to do what we are there to do, and that is protect individual freedoms and protect the freedoms guaranteed to us by the Constitution.
Well, I tell you what, I don't really have a good grasp on, and it seems like that I got 2020 and why, you know, people went along with allowing the government to take such a big role in our lives. There were a lot of unknowns. Everybody wanted to do their part. Better safe than sorry. And let's get a handle on what's going on. And as it turned out, it was more than just flattening the curve and slowing the spread. It turned out to be almost a year-long ordeal, as we now know. But how does this whole Delta variant craze or scare or whatever it is compared to where we were a year ago? How serious is it? And no one's really laying that out, that this is, it may spread much faster, but is it any more severe? Is it any more, is it going to cause any more complications? And are we better off or worse off than we were a year ago when it comes to, you know, casualty counts or death counts and hospitalizations? There's no apples to apples comparison.
There's not, and that's a very good question, and one that I think elected officials, specifically executive branch officials, need to think about very clearly, both on the state, federal, and local level, as you see cities instituting certain mandates. But, you know, if I look at it as a hurricane evacuation, as we look at a hurricane evacuation, right? If you sound the alarm too often, and there's not a problem, and you sounded this alarm, people are less likely to listen to you next time. If you tell people you must leave, we are ordering you to leave, and there was no reason to do so, then when there is a real emergency or a serious issue, they are less likely to listen to you next time. And I worry sometimes that that the executive branches, both at federal and state level and municipal levels, did so much when this first came out, that there is going to be a significant amount of reluctance, and we are seeing that now, and a significant amount of pushback, and a significant amount of questioning of not just our elected officials in executive branches, but also of the doctors, of the scientists, because, you know, we've said this is going to be awful, horrible, and the end of the world, and there's more reluctance now that we seem to be going back there again. And that's something you've got to be reserved, and I think we need to be more reserved when using broad powers like that, because it can backfire.
Do you think you take another shot at rolling back some of that executive authority in the future? And I know we always talk about that fourth year of a quadrennium and how there's a reluctance to really tackle big, you know, things that other than just passing budgets and getting back to the campaign trail. But coming up short in 2021, and I know it's not because of the work you guys did in the Senate, it falls on the House side, but is this something that you think, Is there any reason to think this is feasible to roll back executive power in 2022?
That's a very good question. I would like for that to be the case. I was very supportive of that that concept, and certainly would like for the House to have taken it up. I think the honest answer is going to be whether or not we see any significant use of executive power. And frankly, from what I've heard and the tone that the governor's office has set this time around, obviously in an election year as well, it does not appear that she is going to be using a lot of the executive authority that she has used previously. Now, that could change, and if it does, then I would expect a renewed push to limit some of that executive power.
Yeah, I think Governor Ivey learned her lesson, but the next governor, Will Ainsworth, getting ahead of myself here, but or whoever it might be, we don't really know. Well, we don't think if Will Ainsworth were elected governor, he would be as use the executive role. But who's to say in the future if this comes up? And I'm not, you know, it's hard to know what's going on, but there could be more of these viruses in China that they're working on, and we could have another pandemic. This won't be a once in a 100 years occurrence, perhaps, but it's not that we only have to deal with this once every century. It is that this could be a real thing in the future, and just how much do you want the state government dictating to business whether they could be open or not? That makes it more of a, I think, something for you guys to consider more of an issue and not just political boogeyman, as some would say.
No question about it. And again, I very much is in favor of that legislation and it moving forward. I just don't know that the will be there unless there is something that is terribly offensive in the minds of legislators that has, you know, some overstep, some recent overstep by the executive branch. You know, look, if you look at erosions of liberty around the world over time, they have been in response and they have been because the electorate was in fear. And that is something that is terribly important to remember. You know, if you take a comparative politics look at it, look at erosion to liberty, it's fear that allowed that to happen. And that is what concerns me now, is that folks are willing to sacrifice personal liberty to feel safer. That is a scary thing from a principled standpoint, and why I think it's so important to have principled leaders that are willing to stand up for individual freedoms and individual rights.
Well, I got to assume, I know you maybe not are technically on the campaign trail just yet, but you hear from your constituents. This is, if we're talking things fresh on the minds of people, is it fair to say that for right now, at least at this moment in time, that this whole COVID response is leading the way?
It is, and folks are very concerned about that, and they're concerned about being told what to do from a healthcare standpoint. They don't like that coming from insurance companies. They don't like that coming from, you know, from their government. They want to make their own decisions with their doctor. And that is something that government needs to be respectful of. If folks, I will say this, people need to talk to their doctor. They need to talk to their primary care physician about whether or not a vaccine is appropriate for them. Each and every person is different, and they need to make that decision with their doctor, in consultation with their doctor, and without the government telling them what to do. And that's been my take on it, and individuals seem, on both sides, right, on the vaccinated side and on the unvaccinated side, seem to be perfectly comfortable with that approach. That is the approach of protecting freedom and individual rights, and that's the approach I'm taking.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Well, we're talking about vaccinations. I know I probably asked you this, but last week when you were on, but is there anything else the government needs to be doing to encourage it? When you hear the PSAs, you know the skepticism of the public, and I hear from these guys every day. I'm fully vaccinated, just as a disclaimer, but you hear the skepticism. And it seems to me that the measures, these well-meaning healthcare bureaucrats are trying to employ, that doesn't seem to be the approach. That doesn't seem to be the proper approach, let's say, to winning the hearts and minds of people that aren't vaccinated. That they're not using the art of persuasion to win them over at all. It's more of a fear-based tactic, it seems.
Well, and you hear more of the mainstream media quoting the alarmist physicians. And I say that to just say that the ones that get quoted are the ones that are saying that, you know, this is catastrophic. You know, we are, you know, in an Armageddon scenario. I mean, those are the folks that are getting quoted even by some of the most mainstream folks. But, you know, just the other day I was in a doctor's office and talking about vaccinations for children, for young children, school-age children, above 12, and then the possibility of vaccines of folks lower than 12. And I saw very worried faces in physicians' and nurses' eyes saying, we can move too quickly on this. And that is a very real concern of theirs. You know, the messaging, I think, from the government, if you will, needs to be factual. This is what's going on. These are the caseloads. This is our hospital capacity and where we are. And that you need to go talk to your physician about your individual situation or your child's individual situation. That needs to be the messaging, not this alarmist stuff.
Yeah. I'm a new father here. I think I would be, I think I'd be like terrified. They told me I had to give my son this vaccine. I guess it's different when you're doing it yourself and you kind of understand things, but the push from the government here for an experimental vaccination, we just have a lack of trust in our institutions in this country, and it's even more true in the state because of the way Alabama is viewed by the rest of the country, that you're going to throw in these other components, and people say that your child's got to get vaccinated. I think once that happens, I think that's when you're really going to hear from people in your district about, you know, if that becomes something that we're pushing.
No question about it. And part of it is the fact that this vaccine is so new that it hasn't been fully examined, fully cleared by the FDA. And those are reasonable concerns. And, you know, folks in leadership positions, in executive branch positions, making these decisions, need to be cognizant of that and need to understand that while they may not agree with some individual's decisions and their logic, they still have the right to have that opinion and make decisions for themselves. And that's why I think it's so clear. It's so important and clearly an issue to protect individual freedoms and liberties and an individual's right, whether or not they choose to get it or whether or not their child chooses to get it.
Senator, we got to leave it there, but you've been very kind to join us once again this morning, and let's talk again soon.
We'll do it. Have a wonderful weekend.
Oh, State Senator Chris Elliott on the line there. You can hear me about this time every Friday. Let's get one more break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.